Are you all sitting comfortable, two square on your body? Then I'll begin.
Gentlemen, attention.
On KX93.5, this is your full English breakfast. Tuck in.
Vous asseoir à ma table. Il fait si froid dehors. Ici c'est confortable. Laissez-vous faire, Milord. Et prenez bien vos aises, vos peines sur mon cœur. Et vos pieds sur une chaise. Je vous connais, Milord. Vous ne m'avez jamais vu. Je ne suis qu'une fille du port, une ombre de la rue. Pourtant, je vous ai frôlé quand vous passiez hier. Vous n'étiez pas peu fière, dame. Le ciel vous comblait. Votre foulard de soie flottant sur vos épaules. Vous aviez le beau rôle. On aurait dit le roi. Vous marchiez en vainqueur au bras d'une demoiselle. Mon Dieu, elle était belle, j'en ai froid dans le cœur. Allez, venez, Milord, vous asseoir à ma table. Il fait si froid dehors, ici c'est confortable. Laissez-vous faire, Milord, et prenez bien vos aises, vos peines sur mon cœur. Et vos pieds sur une chaise, je vous connais, Milord. Vous ne m'avez jamais vu. Je ne suis qu'une fille du port, une ombre de la rue. Dire qu'il suffit parfois qu'il y ait un navire pour que tout se déchire. Quand le navire s'en va, il emmenait avec lui la douce aux yeux si tendres, qui n'a pas su comprendre qu'elle a brisé votre vie. L'amour, ça fait pleurer, comme quoi l'existence, ça vous donne toutes les chances pour les reprendre après. Allez, venez, Milord, vous avez l'air d'un môme. Laissez-vous faire, Milord, venez dans mon royaume. Je soigne les remords, je chante la romance, je chante les Milord qui n'ont pas eu de chance. Regardez-moi, Milord, vous ne m'avez jamais vu, mais vous pleurez, Milord. Ça, je l'aurais jamais cru. Eh ben voyons, Milord. Souriez-moi, Milord. Mieux que ça, un petit effort. Voilà, c'est ça. Allez, riez, Milord. Allez, chantez, Milord. Ta da 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 da.
Tuned into this radio station expecting generational alt rock. Well,
That's a different generation right there. Edith Piaf on KX93.5. And that is a sign or it's a foreboding. No, that's not the right word. It's something like that anyway. It's to tell you what's to come. It's going to be an eclectic mix of music this morning on KX93.5. It's your full English breakfast with me, Jason Fedde, and Ava's over there. You over there,
morning,
Ava?
Morning, I'm over here, yes.
Good morning, yeah, I can see you now. We have started a new thing where we bring in people from the Sceptred Isles, from the British Isles. I'm going to say that because our guest this morning is not actually from England. But we're going to chat and we're going to play music that our guest has brought in. Dr. Janet Chance is here this morning. Good morning, Dr. Janet Chance.
Good morning, Jason.
Hello.
You're very lucky I'm here. It's way before my get-up time on Sundays.
We would certainly not be up if it weren't for this. But, you know, this new Full English Breakfast that we're bringing on guests, people from the community. Ava will tell you, I'm much more like, I'm leaping out of bed right now on a Sunday morning because it's a new thing and I'm excited about it. I even had a shower this morning.
I
thought, I'm going to put on a clean shirt. I'm really going to enjoy myself.
What was this for me?
Yeah,
well, I'm so impressed.
It partly was just for you, yeah. So, Dr. Chance, you are a neurologist.
Yes, yes.
I was making fun last night. I was saying that you are a neurologist, which is a new urologist.
Nice try, but no cigar.
Not quite the same thing.
No.
There's a urologist which looks after pee.
Yes.
And then there's an astrologist which looks that. Well, never mind.
I like to look after brains, but neurologists are relatively squeamish people. We don't really like, you know, the sort of blood and guts of medicine. We like to think.
Right. That's interesting.
Much better.
Yeah. Well, it's the brain. I looked at Wikipedia last night, so I'm now an expert on neurology, nervous system, and brain.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And stuff that can go wrong with said organs or systems.
And it's been a fascinating time to have been in this business because when I started, we didn't have any kind of imaging of the brain that you could do. Yeah, unless it was something incredibly painful. And now we have this phenomenal ability to image. I mean, the whole field has exploded.
To have a look at stuff without breaking through the cranium and, you know, all of that.
You got it.
Yeah.
And I mean, I still remember the first CT scan I ever saw. I remember the room. I remember the people who were there. I remember seeing
the films.
Oh,
my God, this is going to be awesome.
Well, it was, you suddenly realised that the world had just changed.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and they were, it's like an old snowy television picture from the black and white days, which I bet you remember.
Yeah.
But it was just so amazing that you could see what was wrong rather than having to guess. Guess is hardly how I would put it, Ava.
Well,
it takes a highly trained mind.
Right. Well, there is some.
But you're sort of right.
I bet there's some crossover between neurology and psychiatry. There must be like some. Yeah, there must be.
Totally. And one of the fathers of neurology was MacDonald Critchley, who always talked about the grey areas between neurology and psychiatry. And they go hand in hand. I mean, a lot of our patients have mood disorders of some kind, or they may come in with symptoms that are absolutely real, but are not due to an organic disease. It's due to some kind of emotional trauma.
Yeah.
And it's figuring out what's what.
Crikey. You're like farmers. I always think neurologists like farmers in that you've got to know a lot about a lot of things.
Yes, and that now has become increasingly difficult. It's, I think, one of the most difficult specialties is to be a good general neurologist who covers everything.
Yeah.
And now we have subspecialties in neurology. My subspecialty is movement disorders, Parkinson's disease, and that kind of stuff. You have epileptologists who deal with seizures. You have stroke specialists who deal with nothing but stroke. Neuromuscular specialists who deal with things like Lou Gehrig disease or neuropathies and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's really just exploded.
It's split into a big wide field. Also, is autism in there? I guess
autism is not something. It would be in pediatric neurology, right. And I deal with the other end of the spectrum.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm now becoming the other end of the age spectrum, which is...
You're person yourself. Well,
yeah.
Well, so it's more fascinating than ever because you can kind of relate.
Yes, totally.
Old age is a neurological disorder to some degree, I'm sure.
Well, life is a fatal disease.
Yeah, that's right. Who said that? Carl Jung.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So, we're all very smart here this morning on KX 93.5. Now, let's play a song because you brought some music in. I don't want to miss out on this. And it's a great, it's a really eclectic mix, fantastic mix of songs. So I want to get to as many songs as we can, but also talk about your life and neurology in general.
Yeah.
So we got Simon and Garfunkel.
Oh, goody. Which one?
Cecilia. Yeah.
Love the song. I love the fact that they made it in somebody's apartment and the timpani is, in fact, a stool that somebody was banging on.
Oh, really?
Apparently.
I didn't know that.
Well, either they practiced it that way or they recorded it that way. My recollection is they recorded it that way.
Wow. Well, here it is. It's Simon and Garfunkel, Cecilia. If you think that these are not medically, like, relevant, this is for people who are gluten-free. Ceciliac. No. Terrible. Terrible joke. All right, here we go. Simon and Garfunkel.
Not tonight, Josephine. I have an headache. What is that infernal racket?
The British are coming! The British are coming!
Put down your hairdryers and surrender in the name of the British Empire.
The British Hair Company has now relocated to 750 South Coast Highway and taken over management of Paris Salon. The British Hair Company. Passion, energy and excellence through education. 949-497-8345.
God save the Queen!
It is KX 93.5, it's Laguna's only FM, your full English breakfast. Just heard the sound of Cecilia, Simon and Garfunkel from 1970. And Dr. Janet Chance is with us. Hi, Janet.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming. And also Ava Burton is here.
I'm here with just, you know, in awe.
Moral support.
I'm here for moral support
no,
and in awe.
Good, because, you know, my moral compass is a little out of whack, frankly.
I'm here to keep you in shape.
No. So, Dr. Janet Chance, where are you from originally?
I'm from Dublin.
Oh, you are from Dublin.
So I am not part of the Sceptred Isles. Ah. Those are
the Emerald Isles.
Northern Ireland. I'm part of the Emerald Isle from south of Ireland.
Right. It's still a jewel in a sea of velvet, though, isn't it?
Oh, God, you know, you fly in there now when you come from a California summer and you fly in low and can't believe how lush and green it is.
Yeah.
It just blows my mind.
Hurts your eyes when you first get off the plane, I find.
Yeah,
so
like,
green. Yeah.
We'll be doing that.
We are going to Dublin, actually.
We're a layover.
Yeah.
On our way to England, and it will be at the end of the California summer.
Yeah.
You fly it through Dublin?
Yeah.
Yeah, we found it a bit cheaper because you don't have to pay the Heathrow tax, you know, whatever that thing is there. The Brexit tax.
Idiots.
Well, you know, in the Irish Times this morning, because I had a quick look, because obviously I know you're Irish, that's one of the big stories, is that it's going to affect Ireland adversely, they're saying. So, yeah, let's ask you, Brexit.
Well,
clearly not in favour.
No, I think it's idiotic. And what really was astounding to me was the number of people who said, well, we don't really want to leave. We didn't think it had ever happened. These were people who'd voted for Brexit. What?
Yeah, we voted for it, but we didn't think it was going to happen.
Did you think would go on?
Do you know what voting is? Do you know what you do when you vote? You vote for a thing and you hope it's going to happen. That's the point of it.
Well, that's rather what I would have thought. My sister lives in Scotland and they were very anti-leaving.
Yeah, well, they still are. In fact, they're talking about leaving the United Kingdom now.
Yeah.
Because of this. And they did have a vote on that some time ago. And now they're saying they're going to vote again.
And it was a relatively close vote.
Yeah.
People there are politically extremely engaged in Scotland.
Yeah.
And it's quite interesting.
Well, you know, they hate the English and I don't blame them. Historically. I'm sure not personally they don't hate the English. But, you know, historically they've been maligned.
Well, it's the same with us. You know, when I was a kid, I was sent to boarding school in England.
Ah.
And the end result was...
Does that account for your quite English accent?
Yeah, if you're shut up in a convent 8-9 months a year, it does rather rub off.
Yeah.
And it never quite went away. But the end result of that was, back in the day, the Irish were rather looked down upon in England, and this was back in the very early 60s. And so in England, I was always Irish, and then I went back to Ireland, and in Ireland, I was always English, and there was this rather demeaning name for those of us who'd done that, and we were called the West Brits.
Ah, so you're...
Ireland
so you
is just a little west of Great Britain.
Yeah.
So so then I went to Canada for my residency and I suddenly discovered, you know, I was just another person.
You're just another person, that's right. Canada's beautiful for that, actually.
It was very refreshing.
In that way, I'm sure. Very odd and old and ancient, sort of strange grudges and prejudices over there. It does, you know, obviously we're Jews, so, you know, we felt that too. Are you a Jew? Are you a Brit? What are you? How does it work? You know, and of course, come to America and Jon Stewart's making fun of Jews on TV and it doesn't matter and they've got menorahs everywhere at Christmas time and, it, you know, everything's a big old mishmash. I'm sure it's not the same for all minorities, but certainly for Jews over here, it feels...
It's very typical of Britain, though, isn't it, that sort of attitude?
Yeah, very much so. Well, the Brits have been doing it forever. Think about, you know, what's his name? Jonathan Swift, A Modest Proposal. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes. He founded the psychiatric hospital in Ireland, St. Patrick's.
Is that right?
Where I did my training, and it was... I don't know if they found it as a psych hospital, but I think it was originally as a home for people who couldn't manage.
Right, it was probably some sort of bedlam place or something like that.
It was a bedlam place, but my God, when I was in medical school, and this was back in... I started in 1967, which is 50 years ago to this year, which absolutely blows my mind. I've tried to do the math many different ways, but it doesn't work.
Oh my God, you really are old, because that's the year... I mean, I was born in 66, and I'm old.
Well, my associate, a man I dearly love and respect, never fails to tell everybody, of course, Dr. Chance has been in practice longer than I've been alive. Lovely. These are the days that I don't like to talk to him very much.
You shouldn't use the word practice after all that time. You should be like, I'm not practicing anymore. I'm actually doing it now.
Well, you know, I kind of like practice because if you think you know it all, you're wrong. You never know it all. You always get surprised.
Yeah, quite right.
And you have to keep
Certainly when it comes to neurology, because the fact is that we don't know that much about the brain, do we? Even though you've got this imaging, as you say now, and it's all very clever. But still areas of the... Correct me if I'm wrong. I can't even say those words. I find it very hard to say
aphasia.
Correct me
aphasia.
If I couldn't possibly be right that I'm wrong. Blah, blah, blah. Correct me if I'm wrong, but the brain is quite a mystery, certainly consciousness and all that, you know, the emergent, whatever. And so... It's going to be fascinating for a long time, we would think.
Yes, and the area that I really specialise in is Parkinson's disease. It's one of what's called the neurodegenerative disorders, and these are things like Alzheimer's disease, Lou Gehrig disease, and these are things where you really don't know when the disease process starts, because by the time you come to diagnosis, you've probably had it for a number of years.
Right, it's showing us some sort of physical or whatever. It's actually showing in real time.
Yes.
You use the word degenerative. Does that mean that parts of the brain are literally going away?
Absolutely. With Parkinson's disease, you lose cells that produce a chemical messenger called dopamine, which stimulates this funky little area called the basal ganglia. And what the basal ganglia do, I can see your eyes glazing over, but I'm going to make it interesting.
It sounds like a salad. I'll have the basal ganglia, please.
Well, it is.
With the raspberry dressing.
Anatomically, it is a bit of a salad, actually. But what happens if you don't have enough of that chemical messenger is you become stiff and slow, a bit like the wizard, the Tin Man in The Wizard of Oz.
Ah, so it's like a sort of unction. It's an oil. It's just kind of a thing that... Well, no, it's not literally that, is it? It's something that's telling your body that you do certain things.
And if it doesn't... If that part doesn't get told, you become stiff and slow and sometimes shaky. And then I trot along like Dorothy in my ruby slippers and provide the appropriate medication, and it can make a profound difference.
Aren't you nice?
No, I don't have ruby slippers, but I think I'm going to get some.
You should do. They should definitely show up in ruby slippers one day at work
with an oil can on my desk.
Laguna Beach Community Clinic, which we love very much here at the station. Let's play another song. We'll come back.
Okay.
Because I want to talk more about stuff.
Yeah.
What should we do? Let's do something crazy. What about this Ill Wind? This song Ill Wind.
Oh, it's Flanders and Swann. And
yes.
You are probably a little young for them. I love them. This is their interpretation of the Mozart Horn Concerto, a piece of music I dearly love, but I can never hear it without breaking into song.
Well, it's quintessentially British, and it's
totally
a live
British
recording.
Yes.
That I've got here. It's called let's just play it and we'll talk a bit more about it afterwards. Ill Wind, Flanders and Swann. Totally wacky. On KX93.5.
I once had a whim and I had to obey it, to buy a French horn in a second-hand shop. I polished it up and I started to play it, in spite of the neighbours who begged me to stop. To sound my horn, I had to develop my embouchure. I found my horn was a bit of a devil to play. So artfully wound, to give you a sound, a beautiful sound, so rich and round. Oh, the hours I had to spend before I mastered it in the end. But that was yesterday, and just today I looked in the usual place. There was the case, but the horn itself was missing. Where can it have gone? Haven't you? Hasn't anyone seen my horn? Where can it have gone? What a blow! Now I know I'm unable to play my Allegro. Who swiped that horn? I bet you a quid somebody did. Knowing I found a concerto and wanted to play it, afraid of my talent at playing the horn. For early today, to my utter dismay, it had vanished away like the dew in the morn. Tootie. I've lost that horn. I know I was using it yesterday. I've lost that horn. Lost that horn. Found that horn. Gone. The stuff of my choice. Pay a reward. I know some hearty folk whose party jokes pretending to hunt with the corn. Gone away, gone away. Was it one of them took it away? Will you kindly return that horn? Oh, where is the devil who pinched my horn? I shall tell the police I want that French horn back.
I miss its music more and more and more. Without that horn, I'm feeling sad and so forlorn. I found a concerto and wanted to play it this way. I talented playing the horn, but early today, to my utter dismay, it had totally vanished away. I wanted to play it, but somebody took it away. I practiced the horn and was longing to play it, but somebody took it away. My neighbor's asleep in his bed. I'll soon make him wish he were dead. I'll take up the tuba instead. Wah, wah. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, if that's not British, I don't know what is. Totally great, wonderful stuff. Flanders and Swan. And it's a Haydn piece, isn't it?
Mozart.
Mozart
Horn Concerto, which is a gorgeous piece of music, but, you know, I can't listen to it anymore because I break into song and it spoiled it.
Right, so now you know because you've got the words there. And it's one of those tunes, though, isn't it? It's sort of Baroque tune, so it lends itself well. They're very brilliant, those two guys.
Oh, they were funny as heck.
Yeah.
You know, I have a couple of their CDs. I found them. I used to have the records. The LPs, and then I was found them on CD and thought, I gotta have them.
It's amazing to think that was the kind of thing that was kind of Saturday night TV, even when I was growing up in the 70s. You know, it was like that British musical tradition went on and on and on and on. I don't know if they still do it. What's it like now, Ave? What's on a Saturday night on TV in Britain?
At the X Factor.
Ah, right, yes, the X Factor, and Britain's Got Talent.
Britain's Got Talent. So, which is still, you know, it's a variation of a theme. It's still a variety show.
Britain's Got Something Wrong With It.
Do you know, I've been watching them, and their acts over the past few years have soared in...
Quality.
Quality.
Have they really?
Yeah.
I don't know about those shows.
No, I think you'd really enjoy it. Forget the singers, but gymnast and dancers and swords.
Oh, well, that sort of thing, right?
You know, it's a proper old-fashioned entertainment show with a modern twist.
Right, but the singers all sound like, you know, singers that are Beyonce and whatever.
It's rubbish.
Can't do with it. I don't like competition in art generally.
Well, our late night TV on Saturday, they had a late night show, and it was Gay Byrne and the Late Late Show.
Gay Byrne.
Yeah.
Gay Byrne.
And it was at 9 o'clock in
I
the
love
evening.
That guy. Yeah.
Oh, he was terrific. I remember he had one thing about how if you talk to potatoes, they would grow. Just one of those totally absurd things. But it was hugely popular, and it was always known as the Late Late.
The Late Late.
He was
one of those guys like, I'm trying to think of somebody American who would be...
Merv Griffin?
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, but I can just picture him. I'm trying to think of somebody American and I keep thinking of him.
Yeah.
But talking to potatoes, how very Irish of him.
Well, yes, I know. That's what we survived on. And honest to God, I do miss Irish potatoes. We don't have as many varieties here. There was one that my favourite one was called an Aran Banna, and it was big and flowery, and oh God, you boiled it in its jacket and was to die for.
Mm. Yeah, no, you can't get a good potato.
Oh, stop snoring.
I don't care about potatoes.
Well, we just mentioned competition and art.
Yes.
Can we just have a quick nod to the Eurovision Song Contest?
Ah, yes.
Yes.
Because nobody knows about. Well, no,
that's the only place where it's appropriate. The Eurovision Song Contest. I'm down for that. Do you want to hear the winner?
Yes, please.
Portugal, right, first time ever.
Would you like to explain what it is, Ava, and I will find it online.
The entrants are all members of the European Union.
Not all. Israel's in it.
Not all.
And also
right.
Some Eastern European countries that are not. And Finland, that's not in the European Union, is it?
But that was the basic start, I believe.
The basic start, yes. But I think it was even before the EEC. It was just European...
Countries. And whoever else wants to throw the hat in.
Most of the songs were really, really dreadful, except the year that ABBA won.
I was going to say, ABBA was the best thing to ever come out of the Eurovision Song Contest. And, well, you know, that Israeli drag queen that won one year.
That was interesting.
That was very interesting. What was great about this year's was it's titled as the competition, diversity, cultural diversity. And it was three English not three English, but three white men in Kiev that were the hosts of the show. So that was the first cringeworthy moment. This year, for the first year ever, Portugal won. Jason's just pulling up the...
I'm trying to find it, but it's all a load of videos of him sort of being interviewed. I want to find the actual song. He made a speech, apparently. The singer of the song that won the competition this year.
Yes.
Yeah, he's got a man bun, so whatever.
I'd like to say England came 20th, I believe, this year.
Where did Ireland come?
Ireland didn't make the finals this year.
Ah!
Oh. They weren't even in it.
Oh,
I checked this morning.
Oh, I'm crushed.
Now, Ireland won a couple of years on the run, did they not?
They did, and they had it in Dublin one year.
Right.
And it was all great excitement, and some of the singers arrived in horses and carriages, and it was done, I think.
It's very exciting, and it's also very tongue-in-cheek.
Totally.
And very cheesy.
And the songs are really, really corny, and they're really all pretty much the same, you know. So how do you pick? And I know that's being slightly mean, but...
And there's always some really outlandish, crazy... The Norwegians always throw in something from left field.
There was a gorilla this year. I think it might have been the Brits had a gorilla on stage.
No.
A man dressed as a gorilla anyway.
No, it wasn't the Brits. The Brits had somebody that had been an X Factor contestant, something like that.
I've got a feeling that they've done a thing on YouTube, the Eurovision people, and they've said, no, we're not putting on YouTube
you
for the time being.
You can't
find it anywhere.
Oh, you might want to go to the Eurovision website.
Really? Do you think maybe that's the thing? Good idea.
I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
Anyway,
it's a load of rubbish.
It was
crap song, and it's a ballad. But the Guardian, the newspaper in Britain, they say it's half decent, which is praise indeed for a Eurovision song. Because there's some the Swedes usually have something that goes boom, bang, a bang, ding, bang, bong. So happy, whatever. And the Irish, I diddly do, diddly fee in the morning. So
The best thing about
it's very stereotypical, generally.
Totally.
We can move on. But the best thing about the Eurovision Song Contest for me was Terry Wogan, who was Irish,
who was the host of it for Britain,
and sarcastic and a little bit drunk.
Yeah.
And he was always fantastic, but he's been taken over by another Irishman, Graham
Norton. Graham Norton, yeah.
Graham Norton was
they're
Irish.
They're saying that he's doing a fine job stepping into Terry's shoes.
Because he's funny, isn't he?
Witty, very witty, very quick, yeah. And, and scathing in a way that you still...
It's a very Irish thing. We tend to be slightly sarky.
Sarky, but endearing, still nice.
Not
brutal.
Mean.
Yeah, not mean. So each country's got its own host.
Right.
Do you know this? And all the 30 odd or maybe more countries enter this competition, and then they, whoever's nominated, because they don't all get through, as you say, the Irish didn't get through this time. So the 20 odd songs that go actually get broadcast, and then get broadcast all around the world, certainly in Europe anyway, and they've each got their own host, and they all get together for a party before the thing. Nowadays, they never used to, because they used to do it from each country. And they go, can you hear me? Can you hear me, Paris?
Yes.
Coming through, Paris. Bonjour from Paris. They do that. And so it's been going a long, long time. Yeah. Before the technology really was there, it was very clever back in the day that we would actually see. We couldn't believe it that we were watching, TV from Germany.
Somebody live in Moldova.
Yeah. Right. Oh, exactly. Well, Moldova didn't exist back then, but I know what you mean.
Well,
I don't mean to be pedantic.
I remember when we first got television in Ireland, and it wasn't an Irish television station. It was BBC and ITV.
Yeah.
And there were no receivers in Ireland, so you got the reception from Wales. And it was awful.
Well, I'm not surprised.
And there was something called Emergency Ward 10 that my mother adored. But I'm going to put in a plug right now for Irish singers. And I want to hear John McCormack.
Ah. In that case, you shall have
because
your wish.
He was one of the great Irish tenors in sort of the early 20th century. And this particular aria, there's a piece in the middle where he sings this long arching phrase and he does not take a breath. And it's, I can't hold my breath that long. You'll recognise it when it comes. It's just remarkable.
I should say Dr. Janet Chance is here with us. Janet's here from the Laguna Beach Community Clinic. She's a neurologist and she's on KX 93.5's Full English Breakfast this morning, although she's Irish.
Well, we could call it the full Irish for this morning.
But no, you mentioned the Welsh, but it's a great thing for Irish and English people to get together and make fun of the Welsh, or, you know.
Make fun of anybody.
Yeah, it's a great thing. It's uniting. It brings us together.
Absolutely.
Yeah, in our hatred for the Welsh. Not hatred. All right, so this is going to be John McCormack. Now, what is it called? Oh, Sleep, Why Dost Thou Leave Me?
Well, this seems suitable so early this morning.
Right, it's 20 to 10. People are going, what?
I don't get up till about 11 o'clock on Sundays. I'm an old lady now.
What do you do? Do you read the paper? Do you have a coffee? Do you have a donut? What do you do?
I read the paper. I read my book. But mostly I sleep. And I wake up and say, I don't need to get up yet. And right. My dog looks at me and says, you really don't want to get up yet?
Yeah, I'm busting for a pee. What's wrong with you?
No. We do that at 6 o'clock in the morning. And there's a ceremony. First of all, she has to have her breakfast. Then we stand at the bottom of the stairs. And she looks at me, and I look at her, and she says, if you'll put one paw up, I'll put one paw up, because we're both a bit creaky.
Yeah, low five.
Yeah, like and that. I would tell her, no, you have to put two paws up, because you've got four, and I've only got two, so you put two paws up, and then I'll put mine up. And then we go up, and then I go back to bed.
Good for you.
Very pleasant.
Sounds very nice. I'm sorry to have disrupted your ritual this morning.
The pain of it.
But we're very grateful for you to...
this is fun. I'm really enjoying it.
All right, so John McCormack, we keep mentioning it and then not playing it. Now, am I getting the name of it right? Oh, Sleep, Why Dost Thou Leave Me?
Yes.
It's a fantastic title. All right, it's KX93.5.
Napoleon, are you coming to bed?
Not tonight, Josephine. I have an headache. What is that infernal racket?
The British are coming! The British are coming!
Put down your hairdryers and surrender in the name of the British Empire.
The British Hair Company has now relocated to 750 South Coast Highway and taken over management of Paris Salon. The British Hair Company. Passion, energy and excellence through education. 949-497-8345.
God save the Queen!
Oh.
gorgeous.
KX93.5.
Yeah, if you can just stop for a moment and just, oh, sometimes, I mean, I love rock and roll music, but when sometimes you just stop for a minute and it's a real pause. It's fantastic, meditational almost, beautiful. Cantorial voice of John McCormack there.
Yeah, it reminded me of being in temple.
Right, in
child.
Synagogue, yeah. He's got that sort of, especially with his the tunes are almost, tunes sort of cantorial as well, but very beautiful and Irish, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, sleep, why dost thou leave me? So he wants to, he doesn't want to wake up, presumably. I couldn't really figure out the lyrics. I wasn't listening.
I think it's more he can't sleep.
Oh, he can't sleep.
He can't sleep. Why have you abandoned? Why can't I sleep?
Yeah.
A little Ambien will help.
Thank you, doctor.
Sorry, bad.
Well, I'm glad we've solved Mr. McCormack's problem. He's long dead, I would think. 1920,
oh,
that,
yes,
came, that was recorded.
Yes, he's long, long gone.
He's sleeping now. Horrible, though.
The sleep of the just.
Yeah. It's a horrible thing not being able to sleep. I remember when I came out to the States, I have great, strong memories of this, 17 years ago, and I was recently got sober off of the kind of drugs that create a lot of dopamine in one's body.
Yes.
Hence the word dope.
Yes.
And I couldn't sleep. It was very difficult to sleep. Often when people quit taking drugs, they can't sleep from it. And you really, I mean, nobody dies of lack of sleep. It's, you finally do go to sleep. But my God, it's, you just think you're never going to sleep. And you can see that you've got to be up at 6 and it's now 3 a.m. And how am I ever going to get through the next day? And ugh, horrible.
Sleep is also a subspecialty now. We do it for a third of our lives and we know so little about it. And there is actually a condition called fatal familial insomnia.
Oh, really? So people do die?
Yes.
Of lack of sleep?
I think it's a lack of sleep. I've never seen it. I just remember thinking, I love the name.
Fatal
familial insomnia.
It's not when you die of lack of sleep, it's when your family does.
Well, it's if it's fatal and it's insomnia and it's familial, how do they live long enough to actually have children who then can't sleep?
Oh, so for the familial
you'd imagine, I mean, in a very simplistic way, you'd imagine that by selection it would be bred out.
But yeah, you would think so.
It's very, very rare.
Yeah. So the familial bit refers to the fact that it's passed from
generation to generation.
Goodness
me.
The
sins of the fathers are visited upon the children.
Yeah.
It is Sunday, after all.
Yeah, true. Well, you know, the good thing about this show is that you can say anything you want because the people that care about that kind of thing, they're all in church.
I'm just thinking about it, though.
Yeah.
I could kill you through lack of sleep.
Right, because I keep you awake with my twitching and snoring.
Yes, that would be an incident of death by lack of sleep.
We need to get that looked at. We should go see a neurologist. Do you know any?
No, I could. There are neurologists around, even here in Laguna Beach. There's a neurologist, and her name is
Dr. Janet Chance is here. She's a neurologist at Laguna Beach Community Clinic. Here's the thing. While we're on the subjects of my twitching and farting in the night, keeping my wife awake. I've made fun of things over the years as an adult, and I'm not a metaphysical person, but I've made fun of lots of ailments over the years. And every time I've stopped doing it now because when I make fun of it, I get it.
Oh, that's bad.
It's terrible, isn't it? I made fun of shaky leg syndrome on TV. There's just adverts on late at night for shaky leg syndrome medication. I go, shaky leg syndrome. What a load of crap.
Oh, it ain't. I get it occasionally, and it when I'm really, really tired. And it is torture. You can't describe what it feels like, can you?
Twitchy legs. Terrible.
But
I keep Ava away. We've just put a new daybed in the office for a friend of us that's coming to stay. And I know that one of us is going to wind up on that daybed. You know,
regularly
because of the way I sleep.
Well, there are things that help it.
Well, like what then? What can help it?
Oh,
Ambien?
No, gabapentin can help it.
Gabapentin?
Melatonin, something really simple.
Ah. Apparently melatonin's not allowed in Europe anymore. Is that true?
I don't know.
They're saying there's something that doesn't not good for you or something. It's not good for the insurance companies because you can buy it over the counter, so they're banning it. Probably.
Well, over here that would be the case.
Yeah.
But not, I don't think, over there. But it that actually works really well. You can take a fair amount.
So tell us about your childhood did you grow up very Catholic? Was it very standard sort of Irish upbringing?
It was a pretty standard Catholic upbringing. I was one of five daughters. We were comfortable. We went to a very good convent school there.
Yeah.
And I mean, you did things at the age of seven, we'd leave the house at about 7 o'clock in the morning to go catch the train to get to Killiney, where the school was, which was, you know, about a 30-minute train ride away.
There's a castle there at Killiney. Is that the...
Killiney Castle, yes.
Yes, there is, yeah.
Yep, and we used to go there as kids, and they have wonderful grounds, and there was an old massing stone. And a massing stone is when you are not allowed to celebrate mass. Catholicism was totally outlawed.
Oh, really?
By the British. Ah. Oh, yes. And so,
this was at a time when the Brits were ruling Ireland.
Yes.
Sorry, but I'm not. My history's not brilliant.
No, they. This was, you know, and you weren't allowed, you know, worship. So people would find a flat stone, or they put a stone somewhere in the middle of the woods or the country where the Brits wouldn't come, and the priest would come out and everyone would go to mass at the massing stone.
Goodness.
And there is one.
See, we were never taught that in our British public schools. Go figure.
Well,
we were never told that.
I didn't learn very much Irish history when I was in boarding school either.
Not in Britain, no. I'm sure you didn't.
Like the English are best. So up with the English and down with the rest.
Yeah.
That was another Flanders and Swan song.
Yeah.
But it's a very funny song, actually. But no, it was very different. But Ireland, it was a wonderful school. We were all blissfully happy there. And then when we were all 11, we got shipped off to a convent in England run by the same order of nuns. And I just, to this day, I said, why?
How were they, the nuns?
In Ireland, the nuns were absolutely lovely. In the school that I, first part of this, there was a junior school in England where you went from 11 to 13. And apparently the teacher that, the nun who was my teacher at that point subsequently got had up on child abuse charges.
Yeah, well, that's the other big story in the Irish Times. Of course, it's ongoing, the abuse of the Catholic Church or elements of the Catholic Church over the years.
It's a big horrific
story.
But this nun, I still remember standing in front of her. She looked like a white rat. I don't know if she was albino, but she was dead white, and she had very pale eyes. And she had pink-rimmed National Health glasses, which sort of added to the impression. And she looked down at me because it was something I didn't understand, and just this pillar in black, and looking at me and saying, well, you can't be entirely stupid.
Oh, God, so terrible.
It was, yeah. I will draw a veil over that.
It's but, not a way
but
to
you
talk
did
to
learn,
kids, is it?
You learned survival skills.
Yeah.
And you learned that things will come to an end eventually. You just have to survive it.
Yeah, just have to get through it. And actually, your childhood, your school days, anyway, it's really, at my age, it doesn't seem that long. Now, when I look back at it and I realise that I was only in school for about, you know, just over 10 years, really, it's not really that long a time. But at the time, of course, summers seem to go on forever. And
You know, those were the days. And somebody once said to me, you know, when you're a child, each day is such an enormous part of your life. And as you get older, the days seem to become smaller and smaller because time seems to pass faster because each day is a much smaller part of your life. And when you listen to it, when I hear that, it makes absolute sense. When I think about it, I don't think about it because it doesn't make sense to me.
No, it's not. It doesn't sound very scientific, does it?
No.
But I wonder what that... There again is a good example of something that's going on in the brain that's really difficult to explain. I mean, just the fact of consciousness, and we've talked about this on this show before. We had a doctor of psychology on 4 years ago because he'd just been to a convention in... somewhere anyway. Oh, he'd been to India to a convention about consciousness, and it had been taken over by a bunch of metaphysicists and Deepak Chopra and his lunatic friends. And it was so he was irritated, this psychologist, because he's interested in the actual science, how it works, you know, and the hard problem of consciousness and all of that. So there's another good example. The sort of this sense of time. Where does that? How does that? How do these firing neurons result in this movie of time that we're...
Well, it's like that thing that when you're in something like an accident, it seems as though it's happening in slow motion.
Yeah.
And it happens in milliseconds.
Yeah.
Not quite, but very short period of time.
Yeah.
But yet time seems to pass so slowly.
Right.
And it's these sort of distortions in our perception that just fascinate me. But, you know, that's what I said, where we practice medicine because, well, we're still learning.
But we really, the truth is we really don't know, right? We really have no idea. In fact, I just talked to Dr. Joe again recently, and he said this hard problem of consciousness in the sort of, in the field or in the school or whatever it is that, you know, in the business, they've kind of moved on. They're not even looking at it much anymore because it's just so confusing.
I think that, when you look at sort of the neurotransmitters, the chemical messengers, there's a lot to be said for that. And with Parkinson's, you know, mood disorders, sleep disorders may precede the typical motor symptoms, the difficulty moving, by years.
Right, but you don't ascribe it to that. You just think the wife's irritating you.
Well, and the thing is that we don't have any kind of diagnostic test. And this is all sort of in retrospect. And with Parkinson's, it's like the motor symptoms are the tip of the iceberg.
Right.
And there's a huge amount of the rest of the iceberg. And it wasn't the tip of the iceberg that sank the Titanic. It was what was underneath the water that you didn't see.
That's what got the ship in the end, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they say consciousness is like that, is that, you know, just what you're conscious of is a very small part of what's going on in the brain, you know, to make you do the things that you do, to just sit up straight, you know.
Yeah. And so, how do you multitask? You know, I mean, most of us don't do it very well, even though we think we do, but we can handle different pieces of information at the same time. How do we do that?
Yeah. Well, Dr. Joe would say that you can handle, how many was it? Five, I think it was five. He said that nobody multitasks well. In fact, if you're doing two things at the same time, you're doing both of them 50% as well as you could.
I think there's a fair amount of truth in this. And as you get older, you don't multitask. You stick with one task and you tell everybody, don't ask me anything at the moment. I'm thinking about
this thing.
X.
No, I'm totally like
Leave
that.
Leave me
aren't
be.
I? You're like that as well, Ava. Mm. If you're on the phone.
If I'm on the phone and somebody's asking me a question, mm-hmm. my head explodes.
Yeah.
I can't.
Look, we've not got much time to play much more music because I've gabbed on and so have you. Everybody has. It's been really lovely to see you.
Can I choose?
Yes, of course.
Can we play The Mockingbird Sings?
Do, 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 do. Listen to The Mockingbird.
Listen to The Mockingbird.
Yes.
The harmonies that Dolly Parton sings in the chorus are just...
Oh, that's right. It's gorgeous, yeah.
Divine.
So, you know what? It's quite a long song, so we'll probably say, let's say goodbye.
Let's say goodbye.
And then we'll
or
play this song.
Or should we say au revoir?
I don't know. It's Brexit. We don't say au revoir anymore. Not allowed to.
Okay.
Do you think they're doing the whole sort of Freedom Fry thing in Britain now? I don't know.
Oh, God only knows. I thought the Freedom Fry thing was the most pathetic thing I had ever heard. Oh, God, I'm going to get into trouble for this now.
No, it's totally ridiculous.
It was absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, but when you look back at that time, it was a golden era, really. We thought he was a lousy president, but now we've got, you know, this one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, and you know what, it's true, actually. I mean, I don't care what people think. I'm just going to say it out loud. He was a terrible president, George Bush, but here we go.
Yes. Going into Iraq was the biggest. It gave that group, the Al-Qaeda and so on, exactly the wedge they wanted between East and West.
I know. Well, perhaps we didn't know at the time. I don't know if I can defend that, but... And Britain was involved too, to a great degree, Tony Blair and all of that. So, anyway, look, you know, we start this conversation now 3 minutes before the show's about to end.
Okay.
But Dr. Janet Chance, thank you so very much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me. This was really fun.
What's a typical Irish goodbye? What do you say?
Bye bye now.
Bye bye now.
All right. Well, the Laguna Beach Community Clinic is, of course, available to the community and LBCC, Laguna Beach. Clinic.org, I believe, is the...
LBCC.org.
All right, LBCC.org. And support them, use them. You know, they're expanding into the community all the time and wonderful organisation. If you support one non-profit this year, then I suggest it's that one around here in Laguna Beach.
Yeah, yeah.
Dr. Janet Chance, Ava Burton, it's your Full English Breakfast on KX 93.5. Steve Reed is up next.
sweet Hallie. I'm dreaming tonight of Hallie, for the thought of her is one that never died. She's sleeping now in the valley, my sweet Hallie. She's sleeping tonight in the valley, and the mockingbird is singing where she lies. Listen to the mockingbird, listen to the mockingbird, for the mockingbird is singing over grave. Listen to the mockingbird, listen to the mockingbird, still singing where the weeping willow waves. Never die. Listen to the mockingbird. Listen to the mockingbird. For the mockingbird is singing over her grave. Listen to the mockingbird. Listen to the mockingbird. Still singing where the weeping willow waves. Since my Hallie is no longer with me now. Listen to the mockingbird, listen to the mockingbird, for the mockingbird is singing o'er her grave. Listen to the mockingbird, listen to the mockingbird, still singing where the weeping willow waves.
Tonight, Josephine, I have an headache. What is that infernal racket?
The British are coming! The British are coming!
Put down your hair dryers and surrender in the name of the British Empire.
The British Hair Company has now relocated to 750 South Coast Highway and taken over management of Paris Salon. The British Hair Company. Passion, energy, and excellence through education.